This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
And welcome to Access All Areas this week with just me, kind of. Just me, kind of. Just me, Stephen Lang, and my gorgeous producer, Lizzie.
Hello.
Again. Oh, not Lizzie.
Not Lizzie.
I've got you on the wrong mic.
Not this time.
I've got you on 4, not 3.
For goodness sake,
I really should be knowing these things by now. I've been here a year. Now being here a year this week or next week.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thanks. I've bought some Prosecco, which we will be busting out later.
Woohoo!
Anyway, welcome everyone to Access All Areas. I'm sorry again, Lizzie's not here. She will be back eventually.
Well, she's living the high life, isn't she?
She's at a party, so, you know, can't blame her for that. But we do have a very packed show ahead. We've got the gorgeous Livy Arben, who I've just met outside. She is stunning. Instagrammer and influencer extraordinaire. We're going to be speaking to her about what she's up to. Then at 6:30 we have Lydia Rose Bright. on the phone.
I'm so excited about that.
Of TOWIE fame. Well, ex-TOWIE fame. She's just quit. She has a new book to talk about. Then we also have... Now, this is... I'm very excited about this. Contestants from the new series of Blind Date. That, to me, is the pinnacle. Because I remember watching that as a kid. I mean, I've always been obsessed with Cilla Black, obviously. But this, I'm really excited to see what they have to say about Paul O'Grady presenting the show.
Uh-huh. There's quite a lot of press around it, wasn't there?
Quite a lot.
First took it on.
Yes. So it'll be exciting to hear what they have to say about the show. And also, because you have rammed in the guests this evening, we have the first evictee from the new series of Big Brother, Mandy Longworth. She is one half of the mother-daughter duo that went in. So speak to her about... No one ever wants to be the first, do they, to go out? Would you?
No, definitely not.
So I'd be interested to hear from her about exactly how she feels about that, because you do get... There's a kind of legendary cult status you can get with being the first out. So, you know, maybe she can earn a bit of money off the back of that. Who knows?
I mean, you say that. Can you name any of the first evictees?
Why are you doing this to me?
Testing you.
Why are you doing this to me? I can remember... No.
Go on, surprise me.
I remember the first ever series of Big Brother, year 2000. I remember that the woman that went first claimed to be a witch. That was the only one I can really remember.
Well, that's
Caroline.
What?
I think her name was Caroline. And she claimed to be a witch. So that's the only one I can think of off the top of my head. Anyway, let's speak to her about it at 7:30 and find out, shall
we?
Yeah, but there's obviously been a lot of other news this week, and I wanted to open it up first by talking a bit about what's been going on in West London this week. It feels like every week on the show we are talking about something that has happened. It's like a horrible disaster that's happened, and this time it's down in Kensington in Grenfell Tower, where... obviously, I'm sure most of you know, there was a massive fire that's engulfed the whole building. 17 people have been confirmed dead so far, and they reckon that number's going to rise. But yeah, I have to say it's been really interesting to watch the aftermath, because people, it seems like, London gets a bad rep, I think, sometimes. They think people are very unfriendly and they don't care about each other. But actually, you see the exact opposite has happened, and there's been a real coming together. I've seen fellow FUBAR radio host Noel Clark has been down there setting up beds for everyone. Lizzie herself has actually been down there. She was down this afternoon. And also there was Adele and Rita Ora both being down to help out. I think, as well as obviously the thousands of people who have just turned up with donations, they've got so many donations now that they don't need any more, which is incredible. And obviously people are donating online as well. I think it's pretty incredible how things have happened. It's obviously a horrendous, horrendous disaster, and there needs to be some serious questions asked about how this something like this could happen. But yeah, don't you think it's been an impressive, impressive time?
I just think what you say about London getting a bad rep is really interesting, because, you know, we don't talk to each other on the tube. I don't think that necessarily means that we're a bad city. You know,
yeah.
It's actually full of really kind hearts.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, just some people who are in the public eye going down there. And that's not even to mention, you know, they said, I saw this morning, there's a stadium worth of donations that's come in. You know, food and clothes.
In 2 days.
Exactly. Not even 2 days yet. Mm-hmm. And it's people, businesses have opened their doors. And I think in times like this, people do pull together, actually.
Yeah.
And it shows kind of what we're about here, even if it's quite a hard city sometimes.
I agree. It can be a hard city to live in. But actually, you do find that people on the whole are actually pretty friendly. They're maybe not going to engage you in a conversation on the street.
No.
But you're at a bar, you're in a pub, people will talk to you. It's not... It's the same with, you know, any big city. You look at what happened with Manchester after what happened. It's all communities have a sense of themselves, and I think that it really comes together. I just hope that the people who have been left homeless and all the family and friends and everyone involved gets some peace of mind at the end of the day, because it just must be absolutely awful. I cannot comprehend what that must be like. And if any of you have seen the pictures or the videos of the night, it was horrendous to wake up to and see. And you know, I live not a high rise, but I live in a flat, you know, like, and you do suddenly start to question these things. So yeah, pretty horrendous time down in Kensington. Let's hope that this sense of community continues on, and these people who have been left homeless get new houses, get set up on their feet, and can lead their lives again. Because yeah, pretty horrendous stuff.
Yeah, and let's hope this actually is a bit of a call to action. You know, things will improve, things will begin to look up.
Yeah,
and actually, you know, the quality controls that are put in place actually, you know, get a little bit better.
Yes, Theresa May and her government have a lot to answer for, it would seem.
Oh, what's that? 10 minutes into the show,
I've got to do it. I can't help myself. I cannot. And the fact that she went down today and would not meet any of the people that lived there, I'm just like, it's just facepalm situation.
For God's sake, Teresa.
For bloody hell's sake, woman, just quit. Anyway, let's play a little song.
Let's lift the spirits of our listeners.
Sorry about that. And then we'll get our first guest, Olivia, into the studio.
Been hearing symphonies before all I heard was silence, a rhapsody for you and me, and every melody is timeless. Life was stringing me along, then you came and you cut me loose, was solo singing on my own. Now I can't find a key without you, and now your song is on repeat, and I'm dancing on to your heartbeat, and when you're gone.
I love that song.
Me too. I stand by the fact that it is the song of the summer.
But it's been out for ages.
No,
that's the only.
I maintain that.
Disagree. No. we have our first guest. Wait, and now I'm checking the mic numbers. Three. We have our first guest. You've really thrown me today. We have our first guest, Olivia Arden, in the studio. Hey, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
Really good. We're here to discuss your incredible career, I guess, as an Instagrammer and a model.
Yeah.
How does that kind of thing all come about? It's quite difficult.
How does modeling start? Well, I started when I was about 15. I used to do like all the hair shows just locally, and then I just really got a feel for it. I knew that that was what I wanted to do. So I just started applying to agencies, and yeah, that's just how I started, really.
Is it that easy? You can, because obviously you have to have a sense of, you have to be fairly confident.
You do have to be quite confident, yeah, you definitely do. And you have to have, like, you know, you have to have a portfolio, like build up a few photos, mm-hmm. have a mixture of different things, you know, editorial and commercial. And then, yeah, you're good to go.
So did you do, like, so the hair modelling kind of led you to first think about it, or were you thinking about it before then?
It led me to first think about it, yeah, because I was so young at the time. And I How definitely got a feel for it. I was 15.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I used to model for the Balmain hair extensions and everything. And that was really good fun. Okay. I was like, this is definitely what I want to be doing.
And how has it progressed since then?
It's progressed in a lot of ways. Obviously, like, social media has really helped. I've got quite a lot of followers now. I've got 43,000 followers.
That's jealous. I've only got 1,000.
And that really helps towards work.
Do you find that now? Because obviously there is a big move away from people want to know everything about everyone's lives.
Yeah.
And I think in the past, a lot of the models, Kate Moss, Naomi, etc., yeah. kept all of that very secret.
Kept it secret, yeah.
Now, it's not really so much
now
of an option.
I think it's good because it shows, you know, you can be more accessible as a model. You can show more of your life, and I think you can show a bit more of, like, your personality as well, which is good, and, like, that's what people want to see, like, when they book you on jobs. Like, I think they will know a little bit more about you, mm-hmm. which is always good,
I think. But it can be a bit nerve-wracking, right? So, what if you give away something you don't mean to, or you know what I mean? Or
I've not given away anything that I haven't meant to yet, but if I do, I'll let you know.
What kind of, so have you got to travel and stuff doing this?
I have, yeah. I went to Denmark. That was pretty cool because it's not a country I would normally visit unless mm-hmm. it was for work. So that was pretty interesting.
And what were you doing there?
I did a music video.
Nice.
An Arabic music video, yeah.
What was that like?
It was interesting. One of my only music videos. So yeah, it was really, really cool.
Do you get to do a lot of video stuff, or is it mostly kind of editorial?
I have done a lot of video stuff, but I think editorial is my favourite thing to do. Like, pictures is my absolute favourite.
How come?
I don't know, really. It's just a vibe you get on set. Like, I really love the whole team. Like, everyone I meet, like, I've always got on with so well. It's just a really good vibe.
That can be a bit, that's not always the case.
No,
that's
definitely not always the case.
I've got friends that work in fashion, and some days, you know, they'll hear the certain photographers on the set or something. They're all in a panic the day before, you know.
Everybody told me this, like, before I started modelling. Like, everybody prepped me, so I was like, oh God, like, I didn't know what to expect going in. But honestly, I don't know if I'm just getting lucky, but I found everyone a total delight. I don't know.
Well, that's probably...
Maybe it's yet to come. Maybe I'll just meet someone and be like, oh my God.
But yeah. Do you think you'd be able to handle that kind of situation?
I think I would. I went to an all-girls school, so I'm ready.
Oh, that's usually a good way
to start.
Do you think that did help you in a way, though? Because obviously that those kind of environments can be tough sometimes when you're growing up.
Yeah, I think it definitely preps you for, you know, definitely for the modelling world, for sure.
And do you find... You said how many? 43,000 followers on Instagram. Do you find that you get young girls...
42.9.
Nearly. We'll round up.
Technicality.
Do you find that you get young girls asking you how to get into modelling and stuff like that?
I have, actually, yeah. Like, it's been really, really nice. Like, I love it when I get inboxes of people asking me. Or it's not always about modelling. Sometimes it's about just, like, general advice. And even sometimes about pictures, like selfies and lighting. So, and I really love that. Like, it's fun when people ask me.
Now, selfies.
Yes.
I can't do them on my camera phone anymore because my front camera is busted.
No.
You're a liability, Stephen.
And you've got a lube case and everything. You're
prepped. I know. I was all ready for the selfies and then I broke it. Is that important now to be able... Because you don't need a photographer for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're doing that all by yourself. Is it important to know... Do you take those things to when you're going into a shoot or something?
Well, take that. It definitely helps, like, for social media. You know, like, I often take, like, little, like, behind the scenes photos and stuff just to show what I'm up to. I mean, like, because I like to see that on other models' pages. Like, I am a bit of a model stalker, especially, like, all Australian models. I'm like, yes.
Why Australian?
I don't know. They're just so fit, and I love that, like, that outdoor lifestyle. You know, I get to see them all in bikinis, and we don't really get that here. So I kind of lust after it.
Well, you could at the moment. It's pretty hot outside.
Yeah, today is an exception. I'm on fire.
But... Oh, yeah, you've got a leather jacket on as well. That's a rookie error. No, but that's true. And do you think that in Australia and stuff, compared to here, that fitness is more important? Because here you get a lot of, you know, that's fair enough, like, skinny, thin models. Mm-hmm. There that you get a lot of the, like, not muscular, but you know what I mean? They're quite... I can't explain. I can't think of the word. But do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I've never been to Australia, so I don't know for sure. But my boyfriend, he is Australian, and he loves fitness. He's mad about CrossFit. That's his new
thing. Yeah. Okay.
That's what gets him going.
What about you? Do you do much exercise? And how?
I do. I mean, I am quite naturally slim anyway, which is lucky because I eat a lot of food. I do Pilates and bar classes. Like, those are my favorite things to do. I do them about
twice a
week.
What's a bar class?
So it's kind of like a ballet and Pilates. You go to
the bar, you lift the pine.
I wish it was that easy. It's like ballet and Pilates combined.
Ah.
It's actually really hard. Really hard.
I can imagine, because those two separate things are quite hard. I was doing yoga quite recently.
Hot yoga, yeah.
Oh, and I have to say,
I've heard that's super intense.
It was very intense. But also, do you know what I didn't like?
What?
I found that people take it a bit too seriously.
Oh, really?
And I look quite like, if I'm doing exercise or something, to... for it to be fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm not into high intensity exercise.
Really?
Yeah. I don't want to feel the burn. Like, I don't want to be exhausted. You know, I want to feel like, I want to come away and feel like I've worked, but I don't want to be like, oh my god, I'm going to be sick. It was so much. Like,
yeah.
Some people like that pressure, but I don't know. I prefer, like you said, I prefer it to be a fun workout. Like, I want to leave just feeling like I've achieved something,
elevated,
but not like overdone it.
Like dying. Yeah, I completely understand that. So you mentioned that you're a bit of a model stalker. Who are your faves?
I like Mara Tigan. She's one of my favorites.
I don't know who that
She's
is.
An American model.
Okay.
I stalk her probably a bit too much. Gabby Epstein as well.
Oh yes, that's the name I've heard of.
Steph Claire Smith.
Okay.
Yeah. Those probably my favourite ones to look at.
And what is kind of the ultimate goal for you? What are you looking to do long term?
Well, I'm currently represented by Wilhelmina Models. So obviously, like, my end goal, I would love to move over to the US and start doing some more with Wilhelmina out there. Like,
amazing.
That would really be my dream. Just to see a bit. I've never been to LA. Like, I would love to go and maybe work better at that. I'd like a little bit of a beach lifestyle. A couple of beach shoots would be great.
Yeah. have they not really come so far then?
I've not been to America. Yeah,
we've got beaches here in Europe.
Oh yeah, I do. I've been on European beaches, but it's not the same.
Stephen, stop sending us a Bognor.
Yeah. Gorgeous beach where I grew up in Portsmouth. Yeah. Lovely.
Oh, by the harbour.
Get down Southsea Beach.
No, actually, I did go to Botany Bay. I once did a shoot down there for like an editorial for Elements magazine, and it actually was beautiful. It's in Kent.
Oh, okay.
It felt like Spain. It was unreal.
Well, if the weather's nice, you know, that's how it can be,
That's how it can be, yeah.
So with the influencer stuff, do you get lots of people coming to you and saying, can you do this for us? Can you like hold this bottle of water and tell us how fab it is? Like, or do you kind of keep away from that kind of thing?
I have had a few, like at the beginning, like I used to do that, but I'm trying to steer away from that, you know, and just stick.
How come?
It can be difficult I want to stick to just modeling, I think. And so I don't want to blur the lines too much. Like, I think I want people to know that modeling's my end goal, and that's what I want to stick to, I think. That's mainly why.
It's a good little money earner, though. That's the thing. It is
a good little money earner, but like sometimes like you want to keep a brand, I think, and you don't want to end up like just promoting everything under the sun.
Yeah, that is true. So what's been the biggest jobs that you've done?
The biggest jobs? I've done Vogue Italia, so that was pretty cool. I did enjoy that.
Wow.
And you did the NFL. I did the European campaign.
Amazing.
And L'Oreal. I did the Smart.
I've definitely heard of them.
Yeah. So that were probably my favourites.
Wow.
L'Oreal was one of my favourites.
And do you ever get noticed?
A couple of times, but like mainly from like quite young kids.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I've got a younger sister as well, so like some a lot of her friends and stuff will come over and be like, I saw you on Instagram.
Oh, that's so cute. So what are you doing the rest of the summer? Have you got anything exciting planned?
I'm going back to Dubai for work. So it's going to be very, very hot.
So no leather jackets.
No leather jackets, yeah. It's going to be boiling. But like everybody else will clear out, so I'll be the only model in town getting all the work.
Yeah, that's what we want. Well, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon.
Oh, thank you so much.
This afternoon. I'm getting confused by the light.
It's still sunny. It's
still sunny, so it could still count as afternoon.
Yeah, I think we should go like that. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. Good luck and have a good summer.
Thank you,
come back in sometime when you've got something else that you've been working on. That would be great.
Amazing.
Thanks. We broken down to
flame when I do it. I'll be catching fire, gasoline when I do it. Just cause you're packing, packing, whoop down sound. That don't mean I'm ever gonna take it like now. Baby, you're the man. But I get that, I get that, I get the power you make rain. But I make it, I make it, I make it shower. My turn. I make this look easy, hit to boom like gasoline. Head they call me Lamborghini, cause I know just what I'm worth. It's like the zero to 100, but my body make them stutter. Stop my engine, push the button, hit them, don't be coming first. Yeah, I'm a machine when I do it. I'll be catching fire, gasoline when I do it.
And tell you power's for a king, huh? You just play it cool and tell them power's not a thing. What? You look them in the eye and say, I know I'm not a guy, but see, there's power in my losses and there's power in my wins. Independent woman looking shower in your bims. They call me cocoa, but I'm mad, you can't be powder in my skin. And you don't need to spend another hour in the gym. You know I'm blinded by his grace, but when you found me, I was dim. We'll be counting down the years. Yeah, I'm about this. All them dirty secrets that we share, I'll clear the browsers. We the type to build on our careers and share the houses. You can be a woman and a boss and wear the trousers at the same time. That I ain't never letting go. But as long as I'm alive, then I'll be sponsoring your pride. You know there's power in the couple, let me compliment your vibe, girl.
Now, I know that I was saying earlier that I really love Symphony by Clean Bandit, and you were saying it's some Song of the Summer, but I actually feel like that is the Song of the Summer. Bit of Little Mix and Power.
Are you going to say that about every song we play this evening?
No, because a lot of them will be really old and we'd...
When we play 80s, you know, some disco, Donna Summer, that's not the song of 2017,
you know,
is it?
It definitely isn't. You know, that's not my... You know, I don't like to play all modern tracks on this on this show.
Shocker.
I like to keep it to the mid-noughties vibe, you know.
Back in your heyday.
Yeah, excuse me.
Sorry.
I'm only 31, Lissy. Jesus. Christ almighty. Right, well, let's move on from that.
All right,
read
fine.
You just gave me.
Gosh, it's got tents in the studio, hasn't it?
Someone pour some more Prosecco. We have our next guest on the line right now. Lydia Bright, are you there?
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Hello. And are you echoing? Can you hear me?
No, I can hear it. It's all good.
Good.
Yes, I'm good now.
Glad to hear that. We had a little bit of a worry just a minute ago that Lydia might be echoing.
All fine.
Yeah, how are you?
It's all good now. I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I've had a really busy day. It's all been a little bit hectic because today's obviously the release of my book. That's what I'm chatting to you guys about. So it's been very full on, but very exciting.
Yeah, you just had your big launch party as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I had my launch party not yesterday, the day before. So yesterday I had a very bad hangover.
I was going to say, that's a sign of a good party, right? You know, you've got to enjoy these things.
Do you know what it was? Everybody that was arriving was like coming up to me with a glass of champagne. Like, oh, let's celebrate, let's toast.
It'd be rude to say no.
Way too much. Exactly.
So your new book, Live, Laugh, Love, Always, Lydia.
Yeah, lots of L's.
Lots of L's. It's a bit of a tongue twister. How did it come about, and what made you want to write it?
So basically, I was approached to do an autobiography actually 2 years ago, and I kind of like passed on the idea because I thought, oh, well, I put so much on reality TV, like how much more can I tell and how much more can I give? And also I was at 24, I was like, oh, it's a little bit young to write an autobiography. So I passed on the idea, and then I came up with this idea shortly after, because this book actually, I've been working on it for 18 months. So I came up with this idea shortly after, and I said, you know, I'll talk about my life and my experiences, but really I wanted to talk about things that people don't necessarily know about me. So I've got like a chapter dedicated to different parts of my life. So I talk about, I've got a chapter that's about business, and it's about inspiring like new entrepreneurs and giving advice and tips. And then I've got a chapter about style and beauty and how you can create certain looks, mm-hmm. and my style evolution. I've got a chapter about adventure and all about traveling and, you know, tips on that. So it's supposed to be like an inspiring, uplifting book for women, and giving loads of tips along the way and talking about my own personal experience. And then I thought, you know, that's something slightly different to an autobiography, and something that I'm super passionate about and got a really positive kind of message, really. Just inspiring book.
I had a little flick through myself, and I have to say, I know most people obviously know you for your time on the Anyways Essex, and your appearances on maybe the Sidebar of Shame or whatever, but like, it's really you travel, don't you? That is something that you really enjoy doing. You've backpacked, you've been all over the world, haven't you?
Yeah, I've had a lot of traveling experiences, and I've been to India, and I've trekked Machu Picchu and camped out in the middle of a mountain, and
is that kind of
on a desert island?
Is that kind of what you do it all for? Do you know what I mean? Like you're earning money, you're in the public eye, but what you're really allowed to do is travel the world how you want to.
Do you know what it was? No, it was actually 5 years ago I embarked on my first charity trip. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought, you know, when I became famous and was in the public eye, I kind of thought to myself, you know, I've been given an amazing platform and I can reach like such a wide audience. I'm going to make sure that I do charity work at least once a year. So mm-hmm. I did my first trip 5 years ago, and I cycled around India for Great Ormond Street Hospital, which is a charity that was close to me because my cousin was in their care. And after that, I just made sure that every year I used my profile to raise money and raise awareness for charities that were close to my heart.
Right.
And in doing that, I took on these big challenges abroad, stuff that was like really grueling, but also like a great way for me to see different parts of the world and see, you know, countries that go through hardships, because of that, for me, makes me realise as well how lucky I am. And although they're hard, I absolutely buzz off the whole experience.
Yeah, I bet.
I've done five massive challenges now.
Where's
so one a year for 5 years?
Where has been your favourite place?
I think that my favourite ever one has got to be, oh, I'm going to pick two, and that's India, which was my first ever one, just mm-hmm. because of that, for me, was like, I'd never experienced anything like that before, and really like opened my eyes to like a world outside of what I usually was used to. And also it's such a culture difference. But then also when I last year, when I did Bear Grylls the island, and I lived in an island for 2 weeks and raised money for Stand Up for Cancer, that was incredible, because of you know, that was like an experience that you'd never be able to. And whilst it's so tough, like I lost a stone and a half, I met some amazing people, and I realised actually how strong I am as a person, because that really pushes you to your limit.
It was watching it on TV, it was obviously there's a lot of these programs now, aren't there, that you see people really push to the extreme. What was it you found the most extreme thing you had to do while you were out there?
the water, like the lack of water. The food.
I mean, that will kill you. That will actually kill
yeah.
you.
Yeah, yeah. After 3 days, you can only the human body can only survive 3 days without water, and apparently 60 days without food. So I basically had no food for 8 days. But that really didn't bother me. Like, I got past the hunger pains. Like, you just got on with it.
Mm.
But the lack of water, like, we had, like, the bare minimum that you could drink. That, for me, was so tough. Like, I mean, if somebody would have given me a bowl of spaghetti bolognese and gone, there we go, I would have gone, I can't eat it because it's going to make me more thirsty. After day eight, I would have done that.
Jeez.
Because I just was gasping constantly. And we used to play this game where we used to sit on the island on the palm fronds, and we used to play the what if game. And it was like, how much would you pay game? And it was like, how much would you pay for a can of Sprite? And at one point, I was literally like, I would pay £1,000 for a can of Sprite. And I would have.
My firstborn child for a can of Sprite.
Yeah, I would have. I was so thirsty, I was close to death.
But people think as well in those shows that you don't actually, it's not as it, you know, people think you're celebrities and that means you're not going to get a hard ride. Did you think that that might be the case when you were doing it? Were
yes,
you fully aware?
You know, they prepared me, but I thought, oh, if we're really thirsty, we've had no water after 3 days, and, you know, we're like nearly passing out, surely they'll come on and they'll help us. But they can't let us nearly die. But
they did.
Yeah, they did. They did let us nearly die.
Jeez. I mean, I would like to see the island experience, but yeah, maybe with a couple of bottles of champagne and
yeah.
Nice salads on offer.
Gallons of water.
Yeah. And obviously recently the news came through, you are now an ex-TOWIE star again.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
What was that was that a difficult decision to make and
Not really. It wasn't a difficult decision, only because of I feel like my time on TOWIE is just naturally coming to an end.
Right.
I wasn't really featured that much in last series anyway, because I took a big chunk of time out because I was filming for The Jump.
Yeah.
And then when I returned from after The Jump, I wasn't really featured that much in the series because I was having to take so much time out for other work commitments.
Yeah.
And I'm very much one of these people, like, if I'm not going to do the job, like, 100%, or I'm not going to be completely passionate about something, I'd rather not do it. And I think that that's kind of what's happened with TOWIE, because of I had to take so much time off, like, really over the past year because of other work.
Mm-hmm.
And like, my character, shall we say, it's hard because obviously it's a reality show, but
yeah.
My character on TOWIE, like, I'm not really that much of a main character anymore because of I take so much time off. I've kind of just come to the point where it's like, if I'm not going to be in it as much as what I used to be, and that's because of I've got other things going on, I just need to take some time out. And I think that the book was, for me, like a perfect time to be like, look, this is other things that I'm about that
yeah.
maybe people don't know so much about, and these are the things that I want to focus on moving forward. And there's so many exciting projects that I've got in the pipeline that I just need to put all my energy into, because at the end of the day, you know, time is precious, and you need to focus it on everything you really want to do.
Of course. And in the book, you do talk about your relationship with Arge and how it's obviously probably the biggest, like, the most focus you've had. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh,
people
yeah.
are. And how is he doing? Have you seen him since he's been back in
I haven't
office?
Seen him.
No.
But we do speak, like, every now and then, and he's doing really, really well. And I did want to talk about that in my book because of obviously, yeah, like, my whole career has been a massive focus on that. Has been my relationship with Arch and the ups and downs thing. So I had to speak about that in my book, and I do, and I speak about, like, so many things that I've learned from it and give my tips because of, you know, people always related to me and James, and they'd tweet me and they go, oh, you know, I've been in this situation, what have you done? And that's why, like, in my book, I kind of wanted to speak about, you know, I was heartbroken and being cheated on, it was a really tough time, but you'll get through it and you'll look back and you'll realise, you know, it happened for a reason, and it makes you who you are. And then I speak
yeah.
about, like, what to do if you suspect your partner cheating on you, and I give all my advice on that because of people who have gone through that whole journey with us. But yeah, it's very much over between us, but we are civil.
That's good, and that's all you can really hope for,
completely.
Isn't it?
Completely.
And he's.
I didn't want to look back on it and have, like, massive regrets. I think I was with him for, like, over 8 years, and, you know,
yeah.
like, if you look back on it all completely negatively, then you end up being bitter about a massive, like, for me, a massive chunk of my life.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I don't ever want to do that.
Was obviously he's going to be returning to TOWIE. Was that any part of your decision not to go back?
No, not at all. I found out that he was returning to TOWIE when all that press went out.
Right.
And, And yeah, no, that wasn't a decision at all. And I called him and I said, oh, look, I've seen the press. I promise you, I didn't even know. I didn't even have a clue.
Was he a bit like, oh, great, thanks?
Yeah, he was. He was like, oh, thank you, because I would hate to think that I've pushed you away from the show. He knew that I wouldn't have done that anyway. Me and him have had a whole series together anyway since we've been broken up.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, like, I wouldn't need to, like, justify that to him, because I wouldn't want him to think, like, oh, I've, like, dropped off the show because he was returning, because I never had a clue.
Yeah.
He was returning. And my decision to leave Tower was made back in, like, February time, and it's just, it happened to come out in press, like, the same
right.
That James had been, said that he's returned, you know, very suspect. Somebody obviously released it with a media plan. not myself, that's for sure, but... But, you know, this is how things that people love a story, so they run it at the same time.
And what do you make these days? There's a lot of focus on Towie, on Megan and Pete.
Yes.
What do you think of their relationship? And because there's almost similar thing going on, where it's like they're very on and very off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they are. That is really similar. But do you know what? I really don't know Megan and Pete at all. And that was kind of like another reason why. That's like partly my fault, because obviously I'm not around on Towie so much anymore. But there's all these new characters now, like, that aren't my clique and aren't part of my circle, and I don't know at all. So all of my friends, really, majority of them have left Towie. So that's kind of why it was that big decision for me to leave. Because Megan and Pete, like, I've probably only met them like 10 or so times. I've never filmed with Pete.
Really?
I've only ever filmed with Megan once.
Okay.
So I don't actually know them well at all.
Interesting. So it's a real turnaround on Towie now, isn't it? It's a completely different show.
Yeah, it's like a whole new generation of Towie, really. You know, very much like my only friends that are really remaining on Towie is Georgia, Amber, Tommy and Liam. They're the only people really I know. I don't know any of the others.
Interesting.
Some of them I've never even met before.
Wow, that, I mean, that's crazy to think of, because you're an original, really, aren't you?
I know. But like last series, obviously there was like six new cast members that joined the show, and yeah, like a couple of them I've only ever met like once or twice, and some of them I've never even met, because I really just wasn't around.
Yeah.
And that just kind of makes you think that my time had come to an end.
Well, Lydia, it sounds to me like the future is looking excellent for you. So,
thank you.
Best of luck with the book.
So. Thank you, darling.
Hopefully we will see you back on our TV screen sometime soon, because I think you are TV gold.
Yeah. So. Oh, bless you. Yeah, I'm not leaving TV, that's for sure. So you'll still meet me.
Good to hear. All right, cool. Well, have a lovely evening. And
lovely chatting to you.
Everyone check out the book. Live, laugh, love, always
love
Lydia.
Love always Lydia. Lots of
bells. Cool, great. Bye, speak to you soon. Bye. What a lovely girl.
Oh, I'm a fan of her.
Isn't she?
Wasn't she nice?
Isn't she nice? And it's, you know, we've had these Towie people on the show before. It doesn't always...
Not always the case.
They're not always as open and honest as you'd like them to be.
And they're not always quite as engaging as she was.
No, that's true. But I think, you know, we've had her mum on the show before.
Yes.
Debbie. And I think that she is kind of similar. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's where Lydia's got it from.
Well, also, Debbie was chatting to you and Lizzie about all the fostering she does. I imagine that's probably played a part in why Lydia's so interested in her charity work.
Yeah, true. Definitely. Well, what a lovely show we're having so far.
Even without Lizzie,
with her replacement, Lizzie.
Yes.
We're going to have to work on that, because it's just getting the Lizzie. I mean, can people tell the difference?
Sorry.
I don't know.
Well, I can change my name if you want.
Okay, we're going to call you Amber from now on.
Great.
How about a bit of Madonna?
All right.
FUBAR Radio presents Sarah Love
and My Stiggy. Who's that biggest girl group in the world right now? And they performed there the other day. Little Mix, Little Shit.
Oh, Little Mix. What, are they still going?
They're the biggest girl group in the world.
Who, Little Mix?
Yeah!
Serious?
And they just collabed. Oh, yeah, with Stormzy.
Let me stay out of this, because you look... Like, but you know what this is under? This is under the... you can't knock the hustle banner. But yeah. I'm sorry, man. Some of the shit that these lot are collaborated on, and I don't get it, man.
Thirsty!
I don't get it.
Every Monday, Sarah Love and My Stiggy.
From 4 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
I'm always happy when I get to play Sophie Ellis-Bextor, because there is not a wide selection of Sophie Ellis-Bextor on this playlist.
Note to producers,
you.
Okay, me. So more Sophie Ellis-Bextor for next week.
Well, if we could get her on sometime, that would be good too.
Yes. Do you know what? In my little calendar that I've got when I plan your show, this week, TBC all week. It has been Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Piss off. Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking. I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want to get your hopes up. Because obviously,
but you just told me.
Well, she obviously isn't here, is she?
That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, fingers crossed for next week. I can lock her down for you.
I would just love a little phone interview with the SEB. I'm telling you.
Her name came up in the office, then I was like, mine, shotgun. Stephen will lose his shit if we get Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
It's true. I am the world's biggest Sophie Ellis-Bextor fan. And people joke that the only one, but that is not the case because you go to her gigs and they are sold out
spectacular. People bloody love her, don't they?
People do love a bit of Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Well, next week, potentially.
It's like how Lizzie always says we're going to get Bananarama on, and then they never. That's not. Yeah, that is yet to come up. So
okay, fine. Well, let's pop Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Bananarama in a little box, and next week on the show,
what a box,
what a lineup.
Speaking of massive pop stars,
yes,
Beyonce has apparently had.
She's dropped
her twins. Isn't this exciting news, ladies and gentlemen? Beyonce has given birth to the future King and Queen of England.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing. I reckon she's going to have a boy and a girl, and they are going to marry into the royal family.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think they'll be more or less beautiful than Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's twins?
Oh, they are pretty gorgeous. Vivian and Knox.
Oh, my God.
Attractive
children.
Tough one. Well, Beyonce and Jay-Z already have another child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, have you heard all the rumors about her birth situation?
Oh God,
it's incredible. $1 million she's apparently spent on kitting out her house ready for the event,
just for the labor.
Just for the, well, and you know, I imagine on a nursery maybe. But apparently, see, all these stories came out about this huge like redevelopment they've had in the house. Today, Jay-Z was seen getting in a car going to a hospital.
Yeah.
So. Did she just decide not to have it at home in the end?
Wait, backtrack a little. Why was Jay-Z... Okay, so he's getting in a car. How do people know that he was getting in a car to go to the hospital? Did they tail him?
I assume they followed him, but hospitals... I don't know if it's the same in America, from what I remember from my media law training. Hospitals are private spaces, including the area around hospitals. So unless you have express permission from someone, you cannot take pictures of people going in and out of a hospital.
Ah.
Which means that there would be no pictures of Beyonce going into a hospital,
sure.
Or Jay-Z going into a hospital. Yeah. There are exceptions to that. If you're someone like a Kerry Katona kind of level person, you'd be like, I want you taking pictures of me coming out of the hospital. That's different.
Okay, so you can kind of own the shot.
Whereas I feel like B and Jay-Z would not be so bothered.
No, they're gonna
about that.
I feel like they're gonna do a Cheryl and what's his flops,
Liam.
Yeah, him, and you know, keep it under wraps until Mother's Day or something. Is American Mother's Day coming up?
Oh, maybe. I don't
know.
Good question. But she is not the only person to have given birth, although it's not been confirmed yet. Binky from Maine and Chelsea.
Oh, really? Has that come round?
I'm being told that Mother's Day was last month, so let's give up on that one.
I thought that, yeah.
Yeah, she's had her baby. Do we care?
Yeah, I think so. I think Binky is kind of in the Lydia Bright stratosphere of celebrity. You know, she's one of the people that kind of started our new wave of reality TV show, and people do care, don't they?
They certainly... Well, I think they do, and I have to say, I care.
You made a living out of caring.
I mean, if I didn't care, it would be... Well, I have to say, I don't actually like that many celebrities. For considering my job as a celebrity journalist, I don't actually like that many celebrities. I like who I like.
Okay, thoughts on Binky?
I mean, she's all right, but she's kind of rude in interviews.
Oh, is she?
Yes.
Because she comes across so well on Made in Chelsea.
Yes, doesn't she? Doesn't she just? There's a certain kind of level of celebrity I find where... And this is from what I've been... interviewing celebrities since 2010, so 7 years. There's a certain level of bottom rung celebrity when you're famous, but you're not like my grandma wouldn't know who you were. They're just dickheads, to be quite honest. they're dickheads, and I find on the radio much nicer because they know they're on the radio.
Yeah, but if
it's just you and a celebrity in a room together, sometimes things get tense. Sometimes things get difficult, and they know what you want to ask about, and it's usually about their latest drama in their lives, but they're there to promote their you know, sock range or something, and you have to, they have to give something, but they don't want to, and they just treat you like you're the enemy. So you know, it's a tough gig, and in my personal experience, Binky is at that level. So although I'm very excited for her, I'm very happy for her that she's had a healthy baby girl. Yeah. Obviously, I find her very irritating.
Well, we shan't be booking her on the Access All Area show on FUBAR Radio because...
I wouldn't want her on.
No.
I wouldn't want her on.
We're better than Binky Felstead, actually.
Burn. Do you know who we've got coming in next? This is very exciting for me. We've got Blind Date contestants, Charlotte and Ryan. Now, for those who don't know, Blind Date is coming back, I believe it to be this Saturday on Channel 5.
First episode.
Exactly, with Paul O'Grady. So we're going to find out from Charlotte and Ryan a bit what it's like, because no one's seen it yet. So this is going to be exciting for them to explain it. Apparently, it's exactly the same. So
oh my God.
We're going to find out from them exactly what goes on. But until then, I'm going to play a bit of Steps, and I'm sorry about that. Is that all right?
Of course it is.
Okay, just another day and then I'll punch you tight. Brighton Show.
Today, I am joined by Lynn Norms and Lucy Mann. We're going to do more Fuck, Marry, Kill Politicians Edition.
Okay.
Tony Blair, Ed Miliband, Jeremy Corbyn.
If we marry Jeremy Corbyn, right, he'd die and then you'd be alone. I
but
don't
then
like
you
that.
Can
so
marry
I'd have to marry
else.
Ed Miliband.
But you can.
I don't
want
to be alone in my later.
You can remarry.
I'm not interested in that. It's very expensive to get married nowadays. And I quite like Ed Miliband.
That's fair.
But I would definitely have sex with Jeremy Corbyn.
And you'd kill Tony Blair.
Always.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whittle Show.
From 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, I'm a deeper shade of blue. Nothing I can do. You're so far, far away. You're so far away. Into each life some rain must fall. I didn't know I would catch it all. The clear skies are gone.
Love a bit of Steps. I'm sorry about that, everyone. You know, I do like to play a bit of Steps every episode we do.
I mean, it's fine, but it is every week.
I know, I'm sorry. And it will change eventually, but there's so many Step songs to get through.
There are. We do play Deeper Shade of Blue.
The same as we seem to always open the show with Spice Girls. We're going to have to make sure we okay. get a refreshed playlist.
Let's refresh it. Next week, we'll do some, you know, 2017 stuff. It'll be...
Oh, no, let's not push it. I don't want anything too modern.
Okay.
I'm kind of... You know what I mean?
All right, Diva.
We've got our second guests who have come in this evening, fresh, Charlotte and Ryan.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're okay, thanks. How are you?
Really good. From Blind Date.
Yes.
It is back.
It is back.
This is exciting.
With vengeance.
With vengeance, yeah. It's certainly been everywhere, right? So for those that don't know, Blind Date, obviously, hugely, hugely successful TV show in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Cilla Black.
Yeah.
Now, since her passing, they decided to try and bring it back with her very good friend, Paul O'Grady.
Yeah, they've revamped it.
And it's going to be on Channel 5. So, do you want to explain a bit how you got involved in the process, how it works? Is it exactly the same, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, okay, should I go first?
Yeah, go on.
Well, basically, I applied through kind of an online system thing. It said, oh, newly single, you know, would you like to have some fun?
Yeah.
So, but it didn't actually name the actual show at the time. So I went through that way. And then as you go through the process, it then explained that it was, you know, a revamp of Blind Date. And I mean, once you see those words, it's just like, yeah, because I don't know obviously how old different people are, but to remember that and have watched it and Saturday nights along, you know, that whole game show lifestyle on Saturdays on, you know, ITV at the time, it was a huge thing. So I definitely wanted to be a part of that. Never actually thought I'd get picked. You know when you just do something for a laugh?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's you know, the rest is history, as they say. But yeah, the short version, went through online, got a call, got an email, had a Skype interview, and then eventually went into the studios, and here we are.
I see. And was that the same for you, right?
No, my process was very different. I was moping around, having just split with my girlfriend at the time. And then in the office, one of the ladies there said, Ryan, why don't you apply for this? And handed me this form. And I thought, why not? I've done the apps, I've done the websites. None of them are working. It's something different. Why not?
Let's try something different.
Go and, you know, dive in the deep end. And then, obviously, I knew it was Blind Date. And I thought, ooh, Blind Date. That was one of the biggest, highest viewed shows in the past.
Yeah,
so
massive.
At least my chances would really increase. It's probably more wide scale than half the apps. So
yeah, I would say so.
Went through the whole process, as you explained, you know, phone call, then Skype interview, then another phone call, and then the sort of tense moment when you don't know if you're actually going to make it.
Yeah.
You're like, do I want to be on it?
Yeah.
You know, we get there. Every week thinking and hoping, no, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And every week being told, yes, you're closer. And then, voila,
and
we were on the show.
And you were just there. Yeah. I think we had to take time off work, like you were saying earlier on. But it was like a choice, not a choice, but a decision. Obviously, they have to make, the powers that be, as it were. Whether one day or the other. So it's like, we could need you the 6th or the 7th.
You're like, well, I've got a job, actually.
Like, yeah. Dude, like, I need to let work know. He let me know, but eventually it worked out fine. So that was good.
And so the process is exactly the same as the Cilla one,
the
right?
The show process. Yep. Yeah, exactly the same. Three people, the pickies, as you were, a picker, a screen. You don't see them. And this is legitimate. You do not see them until that walkout, you know, whether you got the date or not. There wasn't any I've seen you beforehand and now I just have to pretend I haven't. Do not see them. Anybody the entire day.
It's literally a closed room you're in. The only people you meet are the other
pickies. So we sat in a green room.
Okay, so both of you were the ones being picked.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, we were.
Can you tell us anymore? I'm going to guess no.
You have to watch it. Saturday.
48 hours to go, roughly.
I know, I'm so excited.
Are you nervous about how people might view you? Because I think it's fair to say it's a cult program, right? You know,
a lot of people,
I think people will be interested to see what they've done with it.
Definitely.
And they're going to judge you.
No,
they already have started.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, speak for yourself, mate. I haven't been judged, okay? But no, I think I've been, you know, looking at the hashtags and in that kind of thing, because we weren't actually told when the air date was going to happen or the press was going to start to happen. It was literally, I just saw my face one day and I was like, oh my gosh. And then, you know, emails came afterwards. So, you know, you're curious, so you have a look. You know, there are some negative views about Paul O'Grady and, you know, him hosting it. But on, you know, that boring side, there's a whole bunch of fun stuff as well. So you just kind of get what, you know, is out there. But no, I just think I'm really excited. Funny thing, I'm going to be in Liverpool on Saturday, just when it is. So I thought, oh, Cilla, Liverpool, bless me.
Oh, cute, what a connection.
Yeah, I know, it's so nostalgic, sweet, right? Yeah. But yes, I won't actually be home with my family to watch it, but I'm definitely going to Sky Plus that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's going to be awesome.
I'm definitely not watching with my family. I think only my mum found out, because obviously I posted some stuff on Facebook, and the TV Guide, because we were on the online TV Guide
right.
thing, and The Mirror, and all these places, yeah. Metro even as well, I was surprised to see. And then my mum obviously caught wind.
Metro Online or the actual?
Metro Online.
Oh, well. Online, yeah. Sorry. I haven't seen that one. Because that's what I was saying, sorry to cut your story.
No, okay.
But they don't tell us where it's going to be.
Where people,
Literally, it will just pop up, and you'll just be like, oh, that's me.
Well, they don't know usually. So my day job, I'm a journalist.
Oh, yes.
We won't tell the PRs and we're going to write about it, you know.
Yeah.
So this could happen for a little while. Yeah,
it just pops out. So
I'm quite lucky because I'm actually friends with everyone that I met, all the
oh,
boys,
awesome.
Including the picker. Richie 8.5 is one of my sort of great friends now.
Richie 8.5.
Yeah.
Richie, you'll learn.
You'll
understand inside jokes.
Interesting. Okay. And how was Paul? Because obviously his best friend of Scylla.
No, he was lovely, very lovely. In this small breaks between filming and camera checks and whatever it is, you know, TV people do. He was just really, he was just really nice and, kept us at ease and little jokes and stuff because it's quite nerve-wracking for some people.
Well, I think he was nervous as well from what I read. He was very nervous about stepping into such an iconic role that really people only associate with her. Do you know what
with
I mean?
Scylla,
she was Blind Date.
That's it.
Did he ever give off those vibes or anything?
I think he did actually, because obviously Scylla, when she pre-questions you, she's, quite jokey and sort of says some very sort of comical things.
Yeah.
He did the same, but obviously he's got a background in comedy a lot more than she did.
Yeah, so he's
really
quite sharp.
Very sharp, very engaging, and he did a good job. You know, we were all laughing our heads off.
Yeah,
before.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And made us feel comfortable, which was, I think...
Exactly. I was going to say, I wasn't sure about Ryan's filming, but in mine, there were, countless references to Scylla.
Okay.
So, not that I need to or anything, but get across that he's not trying to be her.
Right.
Yeah. Which is what some people are like, you're not going
to
be Scylla. It's not
like
that
I'm
case.
Not trying to
it's
be.
Like, we respect and love the fact that it was her show and it was amazing. He's just now, being a part of her legacy because she's no longer here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he references her a lot and it's, it's funny and it's engaging and all that stuff. So it's definitely not trying to push out her memory or anything like that. It's pretty much you feel like she's with you there anyway because
that's
he speaks
so sweet.
By her so
that's
much
so, sweet.
So it's good, it really is.
And if you've seen the clip obviously that's on at the moment, you can see that he's also very cheeky.
Definitely.
That's kind of his vibe generally,
and embarrassing and the rest.
Do they bring up stuff from your past and all that kind of stuff?
They know
quite
a lot about us. I think we filled in how many different forms, and each time it was asking a bit more information.
You're like, do I
it's like, what do you like in a man? I know that's the point, but am I just supposed to be this candid? I don't know.
Previous dating experience.
Oh, God.
Bad dates.
If I could... Well, I say that. I've spoken about it enough on this show, to be honest.
There you go.
There is a change in this show because they're bringing in lesbian gay couples for the first time as well, aren't they?
Right.
Yeah.
Did you film with any of that? Did you see how that... No.
My particular screening was heterosexual. So
right.
Same with mine as well.
It's
but
interesting.
But one of the contestants, I wasn't sure about. I won't say who.
Maybe he can do another
one. You can guess.
Yeah. You could go again.
But I remember back in the old days, there were some people who'd come on and you'd be like, hold on a second, that is a gay guy.
Yeah.
He just wants to be on TV.
Did you get... Was there that kind of vibe too? Was there... Not gay, but like people wanting to be on TV, on a TV show, you know? Obviously, you want to be on a TV show, so it's not anything to be ashamed about, but...
I would say so. I would say so with some people. And there are other people which, when talking to them in the room beforehand, silent. But as soon as they were in front of the lights and the camera and the action, it was like Jekyll and Hyde almost. Couldn't believe it.
No, I was saying to Ryan earlier on, there was a particular person who, I mean, it's a very closed environment anyway. You're not going to, you haven't met these people before. Mm-hmm. You'll see them for a small amount of time. You may or may not speak to them afterwards. But you can get a feel of somebody quite quickly. And a particular person, I was like, oh my God, you can talk about other shows, can't you?
Yep.
But no, I was saying, when you watch Big Brother or something, and they say, oh my God, they're playing up to the cameras. And I never understood that phrase before. And then I met this person and I was like, damn, that's what they mean. Exactly, you are doing the uttermost because you know somebody's watching you, and I find it very odd. I find it very odd.
I think it's a bit depressing when people do that because it's like you can just be a normal person and people will still like you. You know,
exactly. Like, I mean, I found it odd. As I said, you'll find that out yourself.
I am intrigued. Yeah. Honestly, the more you're saying, the more I'm like, I'll be staying in on Saturday night. This is my.
No, you have to see it. But I think when you think back on this after you've watched it, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you think that this could be... Do you want to do more TV off the back of this? Are we going to see you in Big Brother next year or something? Is this the start of something now?
I would like to think so. I mean, Ryan mentioned wanting to apply, obviously, for the dating aspect. For me, it wasn't as much. I mean, it was a fun thing, and as I said, the nostalgia and all that kind of thing. But I would love for this to be a platform to something else personally. So, yeah.
I think, though, for me as well, I like to do fun things, you know, different things.
That's
I'm happy to try whatever, you know, if that's the route it goes in, fine. Yeah.
Mine's but more of a career.
If it's, you know, for me it's the fun. For you, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun and I love it, but there's a means to an end.
Okay,
there's a goal here.
She's got a plan. Yeah. Okay, I see.
Yeah,
so it is on Blind Date Saturday night.
Yes. Yep. 7 p.m.
On Channel 5. We'll be checking it out. Thanks so much for coming in, guys.
That's all right.
I have to say, you've really sparked my interest now. I've read all the interviews, but actually meeting you in person has definitely made me want to watch it a bit more.
Definitely. And I love your beard, by the way.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Because I'm the Game of Thrones beard lover, and I really do love it.
Game of Thrones.
You should join Damo's thing.
Needs to be a bit longer, I think.
Damo's got a beard club. You should get involved with that.
Okay.
There you go. Once you see your beard.
Okay, right. Well, wait. Good luck. We'll hope it goes well on Saturday night.
Thank
and
you so
don't
much.
Get too drunk.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
I woke up with a fear this morning, but I can taste you on the tip of my tongue. Alarm without no warning. You're by my side and we've got smoke in our lungs. Last night we were way up, kissing in the back of the cab. And then you say, love, baby, let's go back to my flat. And when we wake up, never had a feeling like that. I got a reason, so man, put that record on again. I don't wanna hear sad songs anymore. I only wanna hear love songs. I found my heart up in this place tonight. But I think I'm falling. I'm not proud, but I'm usually the type of girl that'll hit and run. No risk, so I think I'm all in. When I kiss your lips through my heartbeat thump. And now we're way up, dancing on the roof of the house. And then we make love right there on your best friend's couch. And then you say, love, this is what it's all about. So keep on kissing my mouth and put that record on again. I don't wanna hear sad songs anymore. I only wanna hear love songs. I found my heart up in this place tonight. Don't wanna sing mad songs anymore. Only wanna sing your song. Cause your song's got me feeling like mine. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Yeah, you know, your song's got me feeling like mine. I don't wanna hear sad songs anymore. I only wanna hear love songs. I found my heart up in this place tonight. I don't wanna sing mad songs anymore. I only wanna sing your song. Cause your song's got me feeling like I'm. I don't wanna hear sad songs anymore.
Radio.
Greener, you know that I'm greedy for love. Buy your
I'm a bit obsessed with that song.
Who on earth was that?
That's Ariana Grande. And you need to look. Do you watch RuPaul's Drag Race?
I don't.
Right, well,
sorry, I don't.
It's fine. So anyone that does watch RuPaul's Drag Race, it's a really very big now competition, drag queen competition, televised drag queen, with RuPaul as the head judge.
Yeah.
And that song was one of the Lip Sync for Your Life battles. And there was a drag queen called Valentina and she didn't know the words. And that is a crime in the drag community. And I would like to get her on the show as well. So let's book her.
Sophia Lispector, Bananarama.
Valentina. Yeah.
How on earth can you go into something that's going to be televised and not know the words?
Well, if that's part of the thing as well, you know, in RuPaul's Drag Race, if you're in the bottom two, you have to lip sync for your life. That is just standard. And they know the song. They told the song beforehand.
Oh,
they
really?
All get to learn it. She just didn't learn the words.
Well, good riddance, I say.
Well, she was a fan favourite. I would actually love to speak to her. Let's do it.
Okay. It's on my list. Producer Lissy has Valentina RuPaul at the top of the
list. Yes, Sophia Lispector. Brilliant. I don't know if you've been paying much attention, but Pippa Middleton.
Oh, yeah. What's she up to? Still on her honeymoon?
She's actually just got back.
Oh, thank God for
that. But this honeymoon has lasted an ordinarily long amount of time. I don't know if you've noticed. She has been all over the frickin' world.
Well, I think it's quite funny because the last time I was Lizzie Cundy, we were talking about Pippa going on a little jog.
In Sydney, yes. So that was 2 weeks ago.
Oh, Christ.
Since then, she's been all over the world.
And who has been following her?
Well, the paparazzi, apparently. She ended her mammoth honeymoon in Sweden. Where they went to a friend of theirs wedding.
Sure.
I personally think that, of course, you're entitled to do exactly what you want, but people like James Matthews and Pippa Middleton don't actually have real-time jobs. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can basically go on holiday whenever they like. I found it a bit, like, tacky, if I'm honest.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I find it a bit tacky.
What do you think in terms of the fact that this is all happening while there's a lot of shit going on in the world as well? The fact that these people are having such a wonderful, extravagant time, and everything else is so great.
I know, I definitely know where you're coming from. People have to get on with their lives.
True.
That's definitely, you know, you can't, with terrorist attacks or whatever, I personally believe you can't stop your life. You have to get on and get up and carry on. But I do feel with Pippa and James, I just, for someone who's related to royalty now, you know, Kate is royalty, I just found it all a bit classless and a bit tacky.
So
they don't need to go to, I've said this last time, they don't need to go to the most expensive hotel in Sydney friggin' harbour and get papped going for a run and stuff. They could have done that in another time. Spend these couple of weeks by yourself. Have a little, go on a retreat.
Yeah. And I think it's also, I mean, I remember when Ed Sheeran got back from his, he went travelling for a year. He didn't take his phone, he didn't do anything. And
no one,
knew where he'd gone.
He may have had a couple of pictures on Twitter from people.
Yeah, but by and large, he was kind of off the radar. I think you can do it, can't you?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a cynic in me being like, oh, they're looking for it, but...
Well, I don't think, you definitely don't go to Sydney Harbour and expect not to be photographed.
Yeah.
Because Australia has a big gossip culture, the same in London and in America. I just think, we'll just find them a bit depressing.
And also, if my Australian family are anything to go by, they bloody love the royal family.
Really?
Even more than us.
But would that translate to Pippa? Because she's not a royal herself.
I think, yeah, but by association, I guess.
Mm. Intriguing.
Yeah.
But personally, I mean, I'm not a fan. Do I tell you what else I'm not a fan of?
Tell me.
I mean, I'm really feeling the anti-vibes today.
You have got the claws.
I've had a couple
out.
Of Proseccos and I've got some opinions, okay?
Go on, indulge me.
The Voice Kids. Right? The Voice Bloody Kids.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode and I just found it very confronting.
Confronting.
You should not put your child in an environment where they are singing in front of millions of people and there is potential for them to get rejected.
Sure.
Fair enough if you put them on a local stage in front of 100 people. I'm getting so angry, I'm kicking things. that's fine.
Yeah.
I think it's really bad of parents to be willing to put their kids under that kind of pressure.
Yeah, but there are some little shits that just need to be brought down a peg or two. You know what I mean? Like,
that is true.
Come on. Pop them out there. Let them get no spins on the chair. But the and then they'll be fine for all of their teenage lives.
Or will they have a chip on their shoulder forever? I don't know. I really like Danny from McFly. I think he's a lovely guy. He seems like a lovely guy. Mm-hmm. Speaking about him like he's my friend.
But I think all of McFly come across very well.
They do. They're very like normal guys.
Yeah, wholesome.
Yeah.
Look at me,
you never kid. You never see them like, well, you might see them a bit pissed, but they're never like, you're never like, oh, they're really off, they're not on coke, or do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, never that vibe. Pixie Lott, she's all right. Will.i.am's all right. But the vibe of the show, personally, I'm just not a fan of. And what is supposed to happen to these kids after they win the show? Because people that win The Voice generally don't go anywhere. all that you're going to get is they're going to be, you know, very well-respected people on the club circuit at the age of 12. I mean, that's not... Who wants that?
Yeah,
no one's looking for that.
Small anticlimax.
Yeah, like... Personally, I am indignant. I am indignant.
You should write a strongly worded letter.
What to ITV?
Dear ITV.
I have an opinion.
I, Stephen Lang, have had three glasses of Prosecco and I do not agree with
you. Well, you know, I've got two young nephews and I would say exactly the same to my sister if she was to be pushing them. I mean, it wouldn't be my place because they're not my kids, but I would still have an opinion personally.
Yeah, I think you do have to wonder what the parents' agenda is, don't you?
Yes, I concur.
Well, now we've got that bloody out the way, why don't we pop on a song?
I do feel like I've been a bit negative this evening. Well, I do apologise.
We can be nothing but positive with our next guest.
Yes, so we have the first person who's been booted out of Big Brother, Mandy, coming on after I've played a little song. How do you feel about a bit of Mariah Carey? It's not All I Want for Christmas, just in case you're worried.
Great, okay, no, it's my favourite. Let's go Mariah.
Let's go Mariah. So bright, oh yeah.
Asked you once, asked you twice now. There's lipstick on your collar. You say she's just a friend now. Then why don't we call her? So you wanna go on with someone to do all the things you used to do to me? I swear I know you do.
Now there's a modern song I can get on board with.
Yeah, you're a fan.
I'm a fan. sometimes I can appreciate a modern pop song.
What are these popular musical numbers?
Popular songs, I tell you. We actually have our next guest on the phone.
It really has been quite a jam-packed show, hasn't it?
Really has. Hello, Mandy.
Hi there.
How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Now for
I'm well rested.
Yes, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. You are now. This is not something that you ever really want to hear. You are the first person to be out of this series of Big Brother.
Yes, but it wasn't public vote. It was by that Tom.
Yes, and this is actually something I wanted to talk to you about. So, how does it feel to be the first person out of this series?
Well, I mean, we've all seen this last week. Maybe it's not such a bad thing after all.
Right, yeah. But still, it must feel a bit disheartening or what?
It is disheartening, yeah, because...
You planned a summer there.
Say that again, sorry?
You planned a whole summer there.
Well, absolutely. And it was to spend quality time with my daughter who lives in London and I live up north. So when we applied, obviously, it was... as a couple, because they were only wanting couples at the time, and it was one couple, one vote. And it was only on the day that we went in that we realised that we were two people, and that there were going to be, you know, quite a few reality stars or Z-lister reality stars in there as well. So, yeah, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, to be voted out in the way that you were.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain that to people, how it happened and how you feel about that?
Well, there was a chap, well, there was, I don't know, we didn't see it, but was it three or four people that were the people's choice?
Mm-hmm.
And the public had to vote which one they wanted to go into the house. And they voted for Tom, who was the last on the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in with certain powers, and that was to save half of the house and put them in the bedroom, with the luxurious bedroom. And the other half went into what they consider was the scruffier bedroom, and they were all facing eviction on the following Friday.
Yeah.
And then halfway through the week, he had the option to switch around the ones that he saw fit to.
Mm-hmm.
So because he said that he wanted to see more of Charlotte, he switched her and I, which I'd predicted anyway. I said that that's what he was going to do. As well as, I think he did a couple of other switches as well. I can't remember which ones they were.
Yeah.
He switched. So, yeah, that's how it came about. And then he had the deciding vote who to kick out on Friday.
And he chose you.
Mm.
I mean, it must be quite hard. Obviously, you went in there with your daughter, Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I guess you expected to at least be in there for a couple of weeks. yeah. Like, are you sad to have left her? What was her reaction like in the house?
Oh, well, she broke down as soon as I was going. Yeah, she broke down. Not straight away, more or less when she realised that it was happening, you know, and the doors, well, the counting started. So, yeah, she was distraught. And then Marnie went in. I was with Marnie on a bit on the side on
Monday.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
And then she's gone in the house now. She said to Charlotte...
Marnie from Geordie Shore.
That's right. Yeah. She said to Charlotte, oh, by the way, I met your mum. We were on it's on the side together. And then Charlotte broke down again, bless her. So, yeah, I try not to think about it so I don't get upset. But, yeah, it's like thrown into the lion's den, isn't it?
You think she'll be fine, though, right? She'll be fine.
Oh, she'll be fine, yeah. I was scared that she was going to walk because it's not really full of people that she'd normally hang out with on the outside world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of the reality ones, they all know each other, so... Mm.
Yeah, that's...
And they're not her type of person, you know, they're all about makeup and fillers and, you know, girly chit-chat of nonsense. And then, yeah, she's not so keen on Joe and Hannah, mm-hmm. and obviously Tom is a little bit juvenile. so, yeah, Raph's nice, so I think she'll form a relationship with him.
I know you said that you wanted to spend some quality time with her. You could have just gone on a holiday, couldn't you?
Yeah, but holiday doesn't last 7 weeks, does it?
Well, neither did this at the end.
She'd used all the holiday time up as well at work, so yeah, that was not an option.
okay, fair enough. Did you feel like the time that you did get together was good, or were you too involved in the show?
I mean, yeah, it was certainly different, wasn't it? it wasn't overly long, but... yeah, I mean, you know, they say, oh, you know, we want to split you up and so you can both do your own thing, but we weren't actually together all the time at all. You know, we did mingle and fit into different rooms at different times. So, yeah, I mean, the fun was yet to start, really. Well, by fun, I'm not sure that this fun started.
Well, it's a certain kind of fun, right?
Yes, totally.
what did you go in, obviously, to spend time with Charlotte, but what was your other aims of doing Big Brother? You know, did you want it to carry on afterwards?
Yeah, people write off women of a certain age, so it was just nice to, you know, prove that we can still have a bit of fun and life doesn't end when you're sort of over the hill, if you like, and, you know, that we're still 24 in our heads. We're just a little bit... more jaded on the outside. So it was just, you know, something a bit different.
But did you have fun? Did you have fun?
I did, actually, yeah. I did have a great time. I had a lot of fun.
See, that's the thing that you can take out of it then, isn't it? At least
absolutely.
At least it wasn't...
I mean, the thing, I was happy to get cheers going in, and I was even more happy to get cheers coming out, because then you know that you've done something right, and, you know, I got nothing but positive feedback from Emma and Rylan both saying that, you know, they were gutted that I was out and I was one of the favourites. And, you know, I've had lots of positive things since. So, yeah, I mean, it's all good.
What was it like meeting Emma?
Oh, she was lovely. I mean, she's super, isn't she? She's brilliant. She's fantastic.
Is she as gorgeous in real life
as
she appears on TV?
Oh, God, even more so, yeah. She looks stunning.
I don't,
and so kind. Just great.
I do find sometimes her interviews can be a bit jarring. She will go for the difficult questions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, she was kind to me, so I can say that as a positive.
Do you think that's because you're a mum?
As well, I was so horrible when I came out of the house. I was slightly premenstrual, and I was just pissed that Tom had got, you know, like, I like good over evil, and the fact that, you know, he got a comeuppance, but I got his comeuppance, was like, it pissed me off. Plus, I didn't want to leave Charlotte, and she was so upset. So, yeah, I was a bit, I was a little bit overwhelmed, but obviously came to when it came to a bit on the side. But yeah, I was a bit pissed off.
Did you have a bit of a party afterwards? Did you get a bit drunk?
Do you know, I didn't actually. Yeah, no.
What?
I went to a bit on
the
side, and then by the time I got back to the hotel, something else, I can't remember what. I think it was about 2 o'clock before I even got something to eat, and that was only room service. Actually, no, it wasn't even room service. It was some terrible pizza from somewhere. There was no alcohol to be seen anywhere.
That is a disaster.
I know.
Should at least get a bottle of champagne.
I know. Shouldn't I just? I had to wait till I came home for that.
Yeah. Will you be going back on the show? I guess as long as Charlotte's still in there, you'll probably still be involved
in
some way.
Tomorrow for eviction night, because she, along with a few others, are up for eviction. Mm-hmm. So I'm back in the audience tomorrow.
Are you hopeful about her chances of surviving?
I am, actually, yeah. I mean, like I said, it's a tricky one when you've got reality stars that have got umpteen thousand Facebook, Twitter followers.
Do you
and
think
Facebook
that's
followers.
That's a bit, that's something that the show is kind of doing now, which is a little bit
unfair?
I don't
get that. They said that it's difficult to find suitable people for a show, but out of 19,500 couple applicants, I find that hard to believe. So possibly that it was up against Love Island, I don't know. But it's a shame that they do that, because it sort of takes the essence away of it being a social study, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, and more into the realms of people that are desperate to be celebrities.
Absolutely, and of course they've got managers, they brief them on what gets airtime, and that's what I love about Charlotte. She's about the only one in there that's not actually got a game plan and isn't being anything other than herself.
Yeah.
So she's not, you know, she's not into having stupid arguments about nothing, like brushing your hair in the kitchen or putting joking around with a loaf bag over somebody's head. So she doesn't bother to get involved in such things, because it's quite frankly, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And sorry, my little pug snoring on my knee.
It's cute. I can hear it. It's cute.
It sounds like I'm breaking windows. I don't apologise. I'm not.
Quite
honestly.
All right. Don't worry.
She's not embroiled in all of that. And unfortunately, because it's things like romance, you know, Ellie's attempt to hook with Lowton, which is failing miserably. It's stuff like that and the arguments that get all the airtime, and so you don't actually see all the other stuff, of which there was lots. So, you know, the good stuff ends up on the director's floor, really.
Yeah, that happens in every series of Big Brother, though, doesn't it? The edit is something that you cannot avoid. They have to cut things because there's a time restraint, and that's just the way it works. So,
but it's a shame, because a lot of it is going to be fake, because, like I said, they're probably briefed by the managers. You know, I mean, Chanel's a super girl, and I think without the caricature of herself, she'd still be as she is. She'd still be start talking to her friends about penis sizes and stuff, so... you know, it's like, she's super, but, you know, she knows when to get in the jacuzzi, she knows to take Raph in with her, she knows to talk about boob implants and to get him to touch them and all the rest of it, because she knows that will probably, and it was shown, you know, I was outside when that happened, so, and then she said that she'd weed in the jacuzzi again, so that's going to get airtime, they know that, so they play up to the cameras, and of course, if it was a real social experiment, people wouldn't know to do that kind of thing the same. They're not as professional at it, if you like.
Yeah. Did you used to watch the old series of back in the days on Channel 4?
Yeah, absolutely.
What were some of your favourite moments?
I mean, obviously Nikki Graham, she's classic, isn't she?
I would say she's the most legendary Big Brother contestant ever.
Totally. There was I forget the names. There was a black guy called Derek who was
very posh.
Into politics. Yeah, he was fab. The model guy who was very dry, I can't remember his name. I remember it was when Jade Goody was in, I think it was that series.
Alex,
that's it. Those three were some of my favourites,
Do you think people are trying to replicate that kind of thing, or do you think Big Brother's moved on a bit since then?
I'm sure there's a few Nikki Grahams out there. I think Rebecca's been probably trying to emulate that a little bit, hasn't she?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, unfortunately, like I say, it's tarnished with the Z-list reality types that they put in, you know, and when it's supposedly not the celeb Big Brother, it's a shame that they do that.
Yeah, I wonder, because it also kind of blurs the lines, because someone like Megan McKenna, who was on X on the Beach, then went on to do Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah. Now you do X on the Beach, and then you're in Civilian Big Brother. It's like, why are they exactly. drawing the lines in some places and not others,
yeah.
I guess?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be interesting to see.
It was Chanel, I think she got thrown off after one day for orchestrating a fight or something. I don't know, there's something that I read. Whether it's true or not, I don't know.
But all of these programmes are blurring into one, I'm not going to lie.
They are, yeah, and it's a shame. You know, it is a shame.
Yeah.
I thought this year, actually, that the try and get away from that because they had so much negativity about last year's with a few or majority being Z-listers or at least known to the press, so I thought this year they'd make an effort not to do that, but obviously not.
Apparently not.
But like I say, when it comes to eviction night, when it's a vote to save, which it is on Friday, they have a head start, don't they, because they've got, you know, lots of
more
followers,
social media followers. Yeah,
yeah.
I'd say is it Loughton? I want to call him.
I know, I've made Loughton. Everybody call him Leighton, haven't I? That's my fault because I called him Leighton for the duration that I was in there.
It's an unusual name, but his people recently followed my social media account out of nowhere, which made me think, oh, okay, they're trying to play a game. Because, you know, I'm a journalist. They want coverage. So I understand how these things are working. It's interesting. I'll be intrigued to see how the series progresses.
He was so anxious, though, on eviction night on Friday because a reason why Tom went on the turn with me was because he obviously heard what the people were saying about different people.
Yeah.
And he said to Loughton that the general public don't like him, that they think he's this, that and the other, and he was keeping him in the exile side and therefore up for eviction so that he could prove that he isn't that person. Mm-hmm. Well, I said to Tom, I said, actually, Tom, if that was the case, then surely you would have saved him from the public vote to give him an extra 7 days plus to prove himself.
Yeah.
So I think he just said that to unnerve him, to make him feel insecure. And so on eviction night, he was practically shaking. And I said, are you okay? He says, oh, I'm just, like, really anxious. Always to that effect. And I said, look, don't be. I said, you know, I've been in the diary room and I've told the general public that you are a really lovely guy and that, you know, it was unfair of Tom to say what he did to you because I think he was only doing it to unnerve you because obviously he's competition or better competition.
Yeah.
So, having said that, you know, he's still got his followers.
Yeah,
so
well, this
he was
is
probably
this
always going to be safe.
Exactly, this is going to be the problem. Mandy, thank you so much for speaking to us this evening. It's been a real treat,
thank you.
Let's hope that Charlotte stays in for a little bit.
Fingers
a little crossed, bit at
least. Let's hope the public sees sense and kick the Z-listers out.
I agree with you. Well done for your short time in the show, and cool.
Short time, big impact.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Ben.
What a lovely lady.
Mm-hmm.
You see, this is the problem with Big Brother. People vote out the good ones too soon.
Uh-huh, and she was so nice, so down to earth, so normal, and
sometimes that can play against you.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the vibe these days. Would you ever do a reality show?
Hell no.
Oh, see, I probably would.
You wouldn't.
I probably would, yeah.
Which one?
I actually was asked to audition for Big Brother 2 years ago.
Yeah?
But I didn't, because I just started at OK and I thought probably not the best time.
Is that because you know friends in the media?
Well, I don't actually know. The email just came into my freelance account, which is kind of odd. I don't know whether...
Interesting.
Someone somewhere had discussed me. But anyway, it didn't happen.
Scratch that. Actually, sometimes I think I'd like to be famous just so I can be invited on Strictly Come Dancing.
See, that's the long-term game. Mm-hmm. I totally understand that.
Yes.
Well, thanks everyone for listening tonight. Sorry Lizzie wasn't here, but we did have Lissy.
Woohoo!
Who stayed mostly silent in the corner, I'm not going to lie.
I'm a poor man's Lizzie Cundy.
You don't have dark hair.
I don't.
But next week we're going to have Sophie Lis-Bexter, Valentina...
And Bananarama.
And Bananarama. So one to tune into. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, guys. And be back with Lizzie next week. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully.
Can't keep my hands to myself. No matter how hard I'm trying to. I want you all to myself. Your metaphorical gin and juice. So come on, give me a taste.
like to be next to you. Won't let one drop go to waste. Your metaphorical gin and juice. Oh, all of the downs and the uppers keep making love to each other. And I'm trying, 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 trying. All of the downs and the uppers keep making love to each other. And I'm trying, 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 but I can't keep my hands to myself. Hands to myself. Can't keep my hands to myself. Say you're no good, but people say what they wanna say, and you should know if I could, I'd breathe you in every single day.
Oh, cause all of the doubts and the outbursts keep making love to each other.
Keep my hands to myself.